Welcome back to another episode of Generally Assembled. Generally Assembled into the summer, well past the time when we're supposed to be here. We are still your favorite House Republican podcast, and we are talking on July 3rd, 2024, not deep, but certainly into a not-on-time budget.
And I think when people think about not-on-time budget, you know, I remember back in the Rendell years when there was not an on-time budget, but nobody got paid.
I mean,
no state workers got paid. Money didn't flow. And there, you know, there was a court case, and I can't remember when it was exactly, but basically said that can't happen.
Right.
You know, it's the state workers, the folks who are, you know, PennDOT, I think it was everybody.
Like,
if you were a state employee, that you would now have to get paid as you continue through the process. And it really kind of changed the dynamics of the difference between what happens when a budget's 2 weeks late and what happens when a budget's 6 months late.
Well, but there is a lack of pressure points right now. But late budgets, when you take away those things of people not being paid, when you take away a lot of the practical effects of having a late budget, when people didn't get paid, so there was two options, right? You either force people to work, and critical employees did work, right?
Mm-hmm.
Legislative staff worked. And then they got paid for that work when the budget was passed later. But it used to be a shutdown. The government would shut down because that's the other option, is that if we can't pay them, they can't work. So I remember it used to be like state parks would close, mm-hmm. swimming pools would close. And
anything
then,
associated with the state.
Yeah, it would close.
Assistance offices were closed.
Right.
And look, I really look at kind of the way the process is right now. Where when you have divided government, you need something. You need mm-hmm. some kind of a push when sides are so far apart with their ideas of how the budget should look. But I will also say this, as frustrating as the timing component can be, I still think it's important for folks back home to remember, particularly I can speak to the folks of the 78th District, that it's still about the product.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, the product has to be right.
Right.
We can't sacrifice quality of the budget product and putting, you know, future taxpayers in a hole that they'll never dig out of. We can't put that to the back seat and just put the timing in the front seat. Like, we have to be able to work with an urgency and a purpose, but still not just give in to the element of time just to produce something.
Well, so what you're saying is actually there's almost like a cool side to the pillow in this whole late budget thing and the lack of pressure points, which is, on the one hand, there's a risks associated with not having a protracted with having a protracted budget impasse. On the other hand, the pressure points, and I would say one of the bigger pressure points as well, is that due to the lack that's gone as well, is that due to the elimination of all these other pressure points, staff not being paid, state services shutting down, it's no longer a news story. So you don't see in the press every day, state budget not done.
Budget impasse day three.
Right.
Budget impasse day four.
Exactly. So and there's no editorials. July 3rd, no editorials.
Right.
Nobody lambasting legislative leaders and the governor for not being able to get this done. But on the other hand, when you eliminate that, you can focus on the product. So
right.
You're not, you know, you sacrifice a short-term risk for possibly a better long-term product.
And that would be the cool side of the pillow.
Right, that's
which, by the way, one of the great sayings, I remember the old SportsCenter days?
Yeah.
Like Stuart Scott,
yeah.
And that's not old, but like when Keith Olbermann, Dan Patrick,
uh-huh.
like those.
Chris Berman.
Berman was on the actual sport. I saw John Anderson's just retiring. He's doing his last sport.
Yeah, Craig Kilborn.
But before SportsCenter, before ESPN took on kind of a weird way that they cover sports now compared to what. But when growing up, I loved watching those guys.
Yeah.
Like, you knew which guys were going to be on in the evening. Mm-hmm. Linda Cohn.
Yeah.
Like, and they all had.
It was entertainment. It was
right.
Something.
But the
before school,
phrases.
Sitting up drinking my Carnation instant breakfast, watching SportsCenter.
And you, the catchphrases. But the Stuart Scott one that was one of my favorites was always when someone would make a great play or someone would make a great catch or, you know, something would happen. And he would go, "There he is, as cool as the other side of the pillow." Like, that stuck with me as a great sports saying from Stuart Scott.
Yeah, it's cool, and I'll say two things in response to that, which have nothing to do with the budget. But
well, I think we covered the
we basically covered
where the budget's at right now.
Which is, once Stuart Scott, before he died, actually tweeted at me very positively.
No kidding.
I tagged him in a tweet because he was going through his cancer stuff, and I had just gone through my cancer stuff, and I was celebrating an anniversary or something came to mind, and he like said like, "Awesome news, love you, brother."
Wow,
amazing.
That is amazing.
It's so freaking cool, right? But the other thing is, I just taught my son about the cool side of the pillow. So now every time I put him into bed, right before I leave and he's getting ready to sleep, he goes, "Dad, can you flip my pillow over?" And then I flip it over to the cool side.
Aww.
And that's so nice.
That's remarkably sweet. Like, that's wholesome. That's great. Listen,
it's one of those tricks. Nobody ever tells you that the other side of the pillow is cool until
I'm a huge fan of the other side of the pillow.
Yes.
Like that, when you wake up in the middle of the night, you're mm-hmm. like kind of hot, and
yeah.
it's like nothing can get comfortable, and then you flip that pillow over, you lay back down. That's the sound that your son makes is just it's so great. So I actually at one point, and this pillow wore out. But I actually had a cooling pillow.
Yeah,
that
I've had
used
those
to sleep on and try to
still
sleep okay.
with sweat.
Yeah, it's hard. Like
I'm a hot sleeper. I've always
so
been,
am
always
I. And maybe that might have to do with other choices that we've made in
yes,
our lives.
Yes, probably true.
But yeah, I think that I think back to those SportsCenter days. Those were the days. Like you would want to get there. Now I think those days have been replaced by things like MLB Quick Pitch,
mm-hmm.
which I like to watch,
yeah.
you know, in the morning, or NFL. Like when the sporting media kind of got to be more sports specific, MLB had their own NBA.
Right.
It seemed like that kind of took that spot of the traditional Sports Center, which was like just showed you the highlights of the night before.
Well, I think two things have happened. One is a move away from a straight highlight show. It used to be all highlights, mm-hmm. Just running through as many sports as humanly possible and commentating on them and showing them. And you got all of you could miss the game, but wake up and watch SportsCenter in the morning and be there at the locker to talk to your friends about the plays mm-hmm. because you saw SportsCenter. The other thing is the monopolization of ESPN and SportsCenter and the sports media with the NFL is – even in the NFL offseason, they still devote a big chunk of time to discussing football.
Right.
And look, football is fine. I have no problem with football. I enjoy watching football. College football, pro football, it's all very good. Right now, I want highlights of Major League Baseball.
That's
games.
It. Yep.
I want to see the WNBA, right? I want to see.
Wow.
Yeah.
And look, before this year, nobody ever said that.
Nobody ever said that. I have been a fan of Sophie Cunningham from the Phoenix Mercury from the moment she turned pro. I think her attitude on the basketball court is one of the most inspiring. It's an attitude that I used to, when we were in the majority and we were doing a lot more forward facing. It's an attitude that I really pulled a lot from. It's just, you know, having fun. You know, you lead with your attitude, you lead with your emotions, and you don't mind, you know, when you sink an amazing three going like that in your opponent's face every once in a while.
Nobody knew who Sophie Cunningham was in the average sports world. WNBA played to not even half empty, but three quarters empty.
No doubt.
The transformation that has taken place in women's sports because of when I say the Caitlin Clark movement, I don't just mean her, because there have been other mm-hmm. female basketball stars that have kind of emerged. But what you see in terms of like the press conferences after, like it's coverage now.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is all of a sudden a real viable sport. We've seen that transformation.
Yeah, and it's look, I think I my upbringing was a little bit different here, because I had a grandfather who played fast pitch softball for the Navy. It's a very interesting story, and I won't tell it now, but he really enjoyed watching women's softball and women's basketball at the college level, because one, he said it's impossible to find men's fast pitch softball anymore.
Mm.
They don't play it, but he loved watching because that was a game he played.
I umpired it growing up.
Yeah, and you know, women's basketball. He said, you know, it's not a physical game; it's a skill game. And so, whenever I spent a lot of my summers with my grandparents, so especially at the beginning part of the summer, you got women's softball, and the end of the women's you know, Final
World
Four.
Series, yeah.
Yeah. The Final Four. So we watched a lot of women's sports, and you know.
Well, you said you've always been a fan of the LPGA.
Yeah, the LPGA, of course. I mean, I was. I just love golf. I love golf.
Right.
I don't care who's playing it. I don't care where it is.
Yeah, if it's
as a matter of fact,
I'll watch.
Some of the most exciting golf. My boy Wesley Bryan crashed over the weekend at the Rocket Mortgage Classic.
Mm-hmm.
Although that was an incredible finish at the with Akshay.
Yeah.
This weekend and.
Missing the putt, yeah.
Yeah, missing the putt and seeing Cam Davis get emotional over winning, and he's worked really hard to get back to where he is. The most exciting thing in golf this weekend was seeing Marcel Siem and win the Italian Open, like 3 months after having hip surgery, thought he was done with the game. He also was having trouble coming down the back nine, ended up in a playoff, one-hole playoff, makes an amazing like 12, 15-foot birdie putt. And he is one of these characters where he should be. I don't care who's on the team. He should be on the European Ryder Cup team. He's an Ian Poulter type character. Again, like a Sophie Cunningham, huge attitude, understands the media, understands how to get people interested. He's fist pumping, cheering, you know, throwing his hat.
But isn't
you know,
that
getting people
isn't
involved.
That that's part? So I think we saw with Bryson DeChambeau when he won what we talked about his. Kind of his resurrection in the sport is that ability to connect with fans, which is as a professional athlete,
mm-hmm.
not high school, not as much collegiate, although that's turning into it, but as a professional athlete, it is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is part of how, and that's where we are at the WNBA, right? They
yep.
found that individual in Caitlin Clark that connected with fans in a different way
mm-hmm.
in college, kind of came up, and now you see other athletes you know, that are basically probably like Sophie Cunningham was, you know, they're rising to that. They're, you know, I saw the interview with Angel Reese when she was, you know, talking smack. Like,
you know, the part of the Caitlin Clark is advanced by having this Angel Reese rivalry now in the WM, this manufactured rivalry,
but it's there. It's right.
They lean into it.
Absolutely. They're,
yeah.
That's it. And DeChambeau leaned into, right. What he was doing.
Yep.
You've got these characters of sport that are coming out. And you know, I thought about it because as we look at kind of the job that we do, it's very much a people connection type job.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not about just coming down here with the ideas that we have in our head. It's about connecting it to what we hear from people in our districts. You know, I get a perspective on this budget situation that we talked about to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I really get the perspective is when I'm outside of this building and when I'm at my son's baseball games and I hear the people next to me talking, they don't, you know, it's like it's because they're not on, they weren't our fans, so they're not, and
yeah.
they just talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's when you start to find out what people think about politics.
Sure.
And it's not so much in the weeds or it's all about kind of what they see from the outside. Well, this person made sense when they said X.
Mm-hmm.
Or when I saw that on Twitter, that made sense. Whatever it is that they're talking about.
Right.
It kind of, I want to say humbles me. That's part of it. But also just brings me to the level of like, we get so invested in the details, which we should. But also it's good to have that perspective of interacting. If you're not at home interacting with folks in your district, you're missing a huge component of this job. I'm talking about from a member's perspective.
Yes,
now,
of course. Right? Well, but I think that's very important, and you know.
But also probably from a staff perspective, like when you're playing golf with people who are not, you know, with your buddies, or you're out to dinner with family friends, just listening
mm-hmm.
really connects you to what we're all trying to do here. Which and that brings us back to the product. Like, how does the product affect the person who's not into this every day?
Right.
And when why I compared that to what we're talking about with sports is what is the product of the NBA or the WNBA? Well, the product is now interesting to people who were average fans before.
Right.
There are always the diehards of a sport, but how are you connecting? I think in NASCAR back in the day with Gordon and Earnhardt and kind of when it was at his peak because they connected to people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to remember that here too. Like, we have to be connecting with people. It's not just about what we do when we're in Harrisburg, but are we listening back home to the needs of our constituents, and then how do we translate that into a product? That's part of it. Like, that's how it all comes together.
No, I mean, but I think, you know, like I've worked, been very many different levels in this business here, and the most successful members that I have worked for at all various levels of government are the ones who do not spend their time when they're not in legislative voting session, checking in with their district office and, you know, kind of just doing whatever they want to do. It's the people that make sure, even if it's stopping into a diner and just eating at the counter, touring businesses, you know, spending time among the community that elected them are the ones that end up being the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a success as an elected member, and you're certainly not successful as staff if you are not encouraging and find relief and joy in being part of the community that you work for.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it, because we always call it the bubble, right?
Right.
The Harrisburg bubble. When you become so focused on when you become kind of consumed with what that bubble is,
mm-hmm.
It makes it very difficult to connect with anybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, back home especially. So, and I the reason that our conversation took me in that direction is because I see that with the sports that gain popularity,
mm-hmm.
are when they have the individuals that connect with people.
Sure.
If you don't have any of that, then yes, the diehards will still watch, just like the diehards will pay attention to PCN and watch, you know, read editorials. But it's your, what I would call your average person will only connect with something, whether it's the political scene or whether it's the athletic scene, if they can connect to the individuals.
Well, that's generally stumbled for this week. I don't know if we'll have another one soon. Have to see what happens. But you can find this podcast where your favorite podcasts are found. www.pahousegop.com/mypodcasts on Apple or on Spotify. And unfortunately, you're watching us on YouTube. All right. Very good. That's it. We're out.